Support for this Friends of the Highline podcast has been provided by the Trust for Architectural Easements. Welcome to the Friends of the Highline's Historic Walking Tour podcast. My name is Matt Postal, and I'm an architectural historian and the co-author of the Guide to New York City Landmarks. I'm pleased to be your guide on this tour of historic buildings along the Highline. The Highline was built between 1929 and 34 with the goal of removing dangerous freight trains from city streets. Though the southernmost portion of the Highline was torn down, first in the 1960s, then in 1991, this historic structure connects four distinct neighborhoods, including the new West Chelsea Historic District, designated in July of 2008. Printed guides and maps of this tour are also available at Friends of the Highline's website, thehighline.org. Our tour begins on Washington Street at the West Beth Artist Community. This complex contains five buildings dating from 1861 to 1929. The earliest building, at the corner of Hudson and Bank Streets, began as a wood planing mill. Western Electric, a subsidiary of American Telephone and Telegraph, acquired the site in 1895, adding 10 and 13 story structures for manufacturing designed by Cyrus L. Eidlitz. These buildings became a research lab in 1907, later known as Bell Telephone Laboratories. Many important technological breakthroughs were pioneered here, particularly in telecommunications. Scientists were involved in the development of the amplifying vacuum tube, wireless radio, talking motion pictures, and color television. A fourth building was added in 1927, which was later altered to permit passage of freight trains along the Highline. Due to the sensitive nature of research that occurred here, this building needed to be reinforced against train vibrations, a difficult task. Although severed from the Highline, one can still catch a glimpse of the elevated tunnel along Washington Street. Bell Labs closed in 1966, and the building was converted to housing for artists. Financed by the National Endowment for the Arts and the J.M. Kaplan Fund, it was one of architect Richard Meyer's earliest commissions in New York City. West Beth was declared a National Historic Landmark in 1975. Today, it is home to numerous artists as well as the Merce Cunningham Dance Company. The second stop on our tour is the P.F. Collier & Son Building. It has two facades, one facing Little West 12th Street and the other West 13th Street, where the handsome entrance portico displays a prominent globe over the door. Faced in brick and granite, this large three-story structure was designed by the prominent firm Trowbridge & Livingston. Completed in 1902, it housed the offices and printing operations of one of America's most successful publishers. In addition to publishing books, it produced Collier's Weekly, a popular illustrated magazine that premiered in 1895 and grew to enjoy a circulation of more than 300,000 readers. From 1929 to the late 1960s, the building was used as a warehouse by General Electric. Now part of the Gansevoort Market Historic District, current tenants include designers Anya Hindmarch and the Parallel Design Partnership, as well as the nightclub Buddha Bar. The third stop on the tour is the former home of the National Biscuit Company, originally called the New York Biscuit Company and now known as Nabisco. Located on both sides of 10th Avenue, between 15th and 16th Streets, these brick buildings once housed half the biscuit production of the United States. Constructed in stages from 1890 to 1932, the earliest buildings, designed by Roman and Stevers, are located mid-block between 9th and 10th Avenues. Albert G. Zimmerman, Nabisco's staff architect, supervised a major expansion of the facility between 1905 and 1913, adding an 11-story structure on the west side of 10th Avenue. The east building was substantially rebuilt in 1932 to accommodate the High Line. Trains entered both buildings from 30 feet in the air to supply raw ingredients like milk and flour, and to carry out such popular products as Unita biscuits, saltine crackers, Fig Newtons, and Oreo cookies. Incidentally, Nabisco's upstate box factory, now Dia Beacon, a major contemporary art museum, was originally connected to this facility by tracks that ran along the High Line. Nabisco closed the 22-building complex in 1959, and during subsequent decades it was used for light manufacturing. During the 1990s, both structures were converted to new uses by the innovative developer Irwin B. Cohn. If time allows, be certain to go inside and explore the block-long food concourse called Chelsea Market, inventively designed by Van Berg Architects. In addition to being a culinary destination, the East Building houses various media companies, such as the Food Network, the Oxygen Network, and New York One. Our next stop is the site of what was once the world's largest refrigerated warehouse on the west side of 10th Avenue between 16th and 17th Streets. Designed by John B. Schnuck and Sons, the Merchants Refrigerated Company warehouse was a cold storage facility that opened in 1917 and was later retrofitted for the High Line. It served this purpose continuously until it was purchased by developers in 1983, after which the New York Times reported it required 7 months to thaw. In the mid-1980s, a plan was hatched to convert the building into a vertical discount shopping mall, complete with restaurants, but the idea fell through. Today, the top three floors are used by Manhattan Mini Storage, and the rest is government offices. In order to make the interior suitable as offices, windows have been punched through the once blank facades. The building was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1985. Our fifth stop is the Church of the Guardian Angel on the northwest corner of 10th Avenue and 21st Street. Founded in 1888, the congregation was originally located on West 23rd Street, just east of where the High Line stands today. To make way for the railway's construction in 1930, the church sold its property to the New York Central Railroad. It then used the money to construct the current house of worship, as well as a rectory and school. Completed in 1932, this distinctive brick structure was designed in the Italian neo-medieval style by architect John Van Pelt. The church ministered primarily to seamen in its earlier years, as the Hudson River and its bustling waterfront piers were only a block away. Today it serves a diverse congregation, operating a private Catholic school for students from pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. The Empire Diner at the northeast corner of 10th Avenue and 22nd Street is part of the Chelsea Historic District and stop number 6. This classic and particularly well-preserved diner was built by the Fodero Dining Car Company. Installed here in 1946, it can be seen in the background of many historic High Line photos, as well as a few movies. Fodero diners were manufactured in New Jersey from 1933 to 1981 and are best known for their gleaming stainless steel exteriors. Gently remodeled by Carl Lane's in 1979, this Art Moderne style restaurant now features a stylized model of the Empire State Building on the roof. On the west side of 10th Avenue between 25th and 26th Streets is the 10-story R.C. Williams Company warehouse, the eighth stop on our tour. Constructed using reinforced concrete, it was designed by the prominent architect Cass Gilbert, who also built the Woolworth Building and the former United States Custom House on Bowling Green. R.C. Williams was founded in 1809 and by the early 20th century was an important wholesale grocer with clients in Asia and Africa. Completed in 1928, the warehouse was retrofitted just a few years later with a platform on its western face to easily accommodate freight deliveries from the High Line on the third floor. The R.C. Williams warehouse received its first shipment of High Line goods in 1934. Later used by the H. Wolfe Book Manufacturing Company, the warehouse is currently used for prop and scenery storage by ABC Television. It was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 2005 and is part of the West Chelsea Historic District. Our next stop is the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad Building on the southwest corner of 11th Avenue and 26th Street. The B&O Railroad was the country's first commercial rail company. This eight-story warehouse and freight terminal was built in a vaguely neoclassical manner by Maurice Alvin Long, an architect for the railroad between 1912 and 1913. According to a 1914 article in the Railway Review, this all-concrete building was the largest structure of its kind in New York City. It was also an early example of flat slab construction, which rests concrete floors directly on the vertical columns of the floor below. This technique eliminates the need for intermediate girders, thus increasing natural light and headroom. Goods could be directly loaded onto trucks parked in the company's nearby rail yards along the Hudson River, or trains could be brought directly into the building where shipments were stored. During Prohibition, the warehouse was reportedly used by federal agents to store illegal gin and whiskey. Sold to a developer in 1981, the building has been adapted to house light industrial tenants. The next stop is the 2.2 million square foot Starrett Lehigh building, located on the west side of 11th Avenue between 26th and 27th Streets. One of the most striking examples of early modern architecture in the United States, it was included in the first architectural exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art in 1932. The architects were Corey and Corey, who collaborated with Yasu Matsui, and the engineers Purdy and Henderson. Built with a flat slab reinforced concrete frame, the 19-story tiered structure is enclosed with alternating bands of spandrel brick and 8 miles of casement windows, a novel treatment at the time. Completed in 1931, the Starrett Lehigh building also featured enormous elevators that could lift fully loaded freight cars to any floor for delivery. This remarkable warehouse was designated a New York City landmark in 1986. Today, the restored building is headquarters to a variety of fashion and design companies, including Martha Stewart, Omnimedia, Hugo Boss, and Tommy Hilfiger. Diller Scofidio and Renfro, members of the Highline design team, also have offices here. Designed by architects Clinton and Russell, the 11th stop on our tour is the Otis Elevator Company building, occupying the block across 11th Avenue from the Starrett Lehigh building at 26th Street. Founded in 1853 by Elijah Graves Otis, this American company made skyscrapers possible by providing safe mechanical transport to all floors. It did this by pioneering the development of the safety elevator, which introduced a special mechanism to lock the elevator car in place should the hoisting ropes fail. The company is currently the largest elevator manufacturer in the world. Otis occupied the 7-story structure for about 6 decades, from 1912 to 1973. Faced with brick and limestone, this neo-Renaissance building has an impressive copper cornice. It originally contained 5 floors of executive offices and 2 floors of machine shops and stockrooms. Part of the West Chelsea Historic District, the building is now used as offices. The final stop is the Morgan Processing and Distribution Center on 9th Avenue, between 28th and 30th Streets. Completed in 1933, this 6-story neoclassical style structure serves as the U.S. Postal Service's largest mail processing hub in New York City. Previously, the site had been occupied by a station of the Hudson River Railroad. A bronze plaque on the building's north facade recounts Abraham Lincoln's visit to the station during 1861, as well as in 1865 as part of his funeral procession. James A. Wetmore served as the mail building's architect, and it was planned to reduce delivery times to and from New York City. The New York Times reported in 1947 that 85% of all U.S. mail addressed to foreign countries was handled here. An 11-alarm fire broke out in the building in 1967, destroying thousands of tons of mail and forcing it to close for more than 13 years. It was finally returned to use in 1980. Though originally built as a direct connection to the High Line at the corner of 11th Avenue and 30th Street, the second-floor tunnel has been blocked with brick for several decades. In the future, as part of plans to adapt the Farley Post Office on 8th Avenue to new uses, local mail processing operations will be moved here. This brings us to the end of our podcast. Thanks so much for joining me, Matt Postal, on this architectural tour along the High Line and through the newly created West Chelsea Historic District. On behalf of the Friends of the High Line and the Trust for Architectural Easements, thanks for listening.